Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Registrars across the state are busy tallying returns for the midterm. With the number of mail-in and drop-off ballots, it's a process that requires patience and steadiness. We're going to check in with California's Chief Elections Officer, Secretary of State Shirley Weber. Secretary Weber, who is also up for election, will be embarking on her first full term since being appointed by Governor Newsom. The AP has called the race in Weber's favor. Joining us now is Secretary Weber with a look at how election results are shaping up and what voters should keep in mind with a few weeks until results are certified. Good morning, Secretary Weber.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you. Thank you for making the time. Busy week for you, I would imagine. You know, I want to peel back the curtain a little bit because although a lot of people know what the Secretary of State's office does, you know, perhaps the inner workings and the responsibilities may be lesser known. What's currently going on within your office and, you know, the 36 hours since polls closed?
Right. We work with all the counties in the state. So the 58 counties that that really administer the elections, and our staff works with all of them, and they all of our registrar voters, whether they're elected or whether they're appointed by their county board of supervisors. We work with them to make sure they have the necessary information, the necessary support to accomplish the goals of the election. So the elections really are done at the local level. So we continue to work with them throughout, actually months before the election begins. They have weekly meetings to make sure everybody's got all the materials and things that are ready. We test all the machines for them. Those kinds of things take place at the state level and the local level. And then, of course, during election day, all of our staff is on hand. Their staff is on hand. We're basically troubleshooting at the state level any issue that might arise. And this was a very smooth election without glitches and those kinds of things that occur. But we have a staff that supports them. So we're their support staff. All the data comes into our office. I was there the night when the polls closed at 8 o'clock. And it's in our office that we push the button that basically starts the counties from sending in their data and reporting that information to us. So we become like the central hub for all of the counties to send their information to. So they're working at the local counties, depending on their size. They're working to get all the ballots counted and then turning them into us periodically so that we get the information. And so we end up with all the information at at the state level for state offices, as well as those that are local. But the local, actually, if you want to know who won at the local level, immediately you'd go to your registrar of voters for your county.
Yeah, and there's a lot of close races at the local level, that's for sure,
yes,
across the state. So overall, you say the voting went smooth. Were there any isolated issues of concern or learning lessons to apply for future elections?
You know, we always learn something new. We had one, not so much us, but an issue at a county level with regards to technology. It had nothing to do with elections, though. And so we immediately got involved and rerouted all the information to us in a different way. But we learned then that, say, hey, we need to work probably not just with our registrar voters, but oftentimes with our county election individuals who run their technology to make sure they're on board and know sometimes our chain of command if anything happens to affect the elections. In this case, it didn't affect it, but we learned that we need to stay in touch with them as well.
Yeah. You know, and I understand when there are issues, it's a case by case basis. But what kind of protocols are in place if an issue does arise at a polling place on election day?
Oh, wow. If something happens at a polling place, depending on what it is, if it's technology, that's one thing. But if it turns out to be an incident of a person basically causing difficulty at that particular site, our folks have been trained to how to de-escalate situations to make sure people are okay and to keep everyone safe. If that fails, if they're not able to do that, then they are to contact us, to contact their local sheriffs. If they contact us, then we'll make sure we have a group with not only our AG office, but with our highway patrol, as well as our FBI. So we have a system that goes from one level to the next to make sure that people are safe and that person is removed from that environment.
Yeah, we've been having conversations leading up to the midterm and since really the primary with county registrars about just really kind of being in this unprecedented time of tension. And we have talked multiple times with the California Voter Foundation and the nonprofit. They published a report that said since November of 2020, so, you know, 2 years ago, 20 of the state's 58 county registrars, that's about over a third, have either left their positions or just chosen not to seek re-election, in part due to increased and aggressive abusive behavior that's targeted at them. Can you talk to us about what your office's role is in this, and what you're doing to recruit and to also retain local registrars and election workers across the state?
Well, the counties basically recruit their registrar voters. In other words, the county does the hiring and the selection, so we have very little to do with that. And if they choose to run for office, then the county actually administers the election. What we have done, however, is that we've made sure that everyone understands the Bill of Rights, the voting Bill of Rights, to make sure that folks are safe. We've made clear to our registrar voters that we will protect them as much as we possibly can, and whoever decides to disrupt situations, we'll prosecute them to the maximum extent of the law. The AG's office has worked with us on that, as well as the FBI. We've created a law that safe at home for those who feel that their personal information is out that others can see, that they can now be protected from having their information shared with others, so that people will not know their phone numbers and their addresses and those kinds of things. So we've done those things to make sure that people are protected. Sometimes folks quit because, one, they've served for many, many years. We have a lot of registrar voters who love their job and have served for many, many years, and now it's become much more complicated. So they're thinking, so we've had folks to retire. But we also have to deal with poll workers, people who don't want to be harassed. You know, it was such a nice, wonderful job that they did that was really filled with love and commitment to our counties. And now it becomes a tense situation, much more than they wanted. And so we have folks who decided after years just not to work the polls. We then, at a statewide level, however, we do recruit poll workers. We do recruit individuals to work. So if a county discovers that they have fewer than is required, we will help them find individuals, and we have helped them find individuals to work at their local polls that may come from other counties. We do that. And we've been recruiting high school students who love to work at the polls, and they make money. They get paid for being there. And so we've done that through our program of working with high school students and getting them registered. So thus far, we haven't been in a situation where we haven't had our polls adequately manned in terms of staff that's there. But it is something we're concerned about. And as a result, we're doing those kinds of things that make them safer, to make sure that they know that we're protecting them. We've gone out and we look at their physical facilities, particularly in the smaller areas, to make sure that that what they need for security is there, and that we work to make sure that they're safe. So we haven't had any incidents of real difficulty here, and we're fortunate in that sense. But we are aware that those kinds of things and threats and, you know, people getting angry about situations do occur. But we didn't have much happening like that this time, and we're very grateful for that.
I was a high school poll worker, so I know that program quite well.
That's great.
You know, and I guess
great.
The overarching issue is that, you know, faith in the electoral process has come under intense scrutiny, perhaps with a small but also passionate group of voters. I'm curious, your office, you oversee 500 employees. How is the atmosphere within the Secretary of State's office?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, people don't know that the voting section is really not the largest section of the Secretary of State's office. Our largest section is our business filings and nonprofit filings. That is the largest unit that we have in our office. So many of our employees don't directly work with elections. They volunteer during election time, and they'll man the hotline and things like that. So we have a great sense of volunteer among our staff, but most of them don't do that. We have we have a great team of individuals who've been kind of the deputies and the assistant managers in terms of elections, and have many, many years of working with elections. So they meet regularly. I meet with them. We meet with our county regularly. And so we have a wonderful team of individuals who know elections backwards and forwards, and who are on who have a system that to me was just absolutely amazing to watch, because it's so intricate and it has so many small pieces to it to ensure that elections go smoothly. So I have a team of an election section in the department that really handles all of the elections, deal with all the issues, and we're very fortunate to have them. Many of them have 20, 30 years of experience of running elections. And so they're not the faces you often see, but when I go down to meet with them, they're there, and they know how important the role is that they play. So we have a great team, but it's not the largest team, interestingly enough.
Oh.
And so there's always really excitement on election night, you know, if you come down, if you were in the building, you would see not only all the workers, but you see all the food and all the potlucks and the things that they do, because they're there from early morning to the next day, making sure these things happen. And they're there right now.
Despite it being easier than ever to register, we have like record registration in recent years. There's like some 22 million ballots that were mailed out. There is a gap, obviously, between voter registration and turnout. I was talking to one analyst who said yesterday that they would project like a 50% turnout with this midterm. Currently, it's about a third at like 32%. Why do you think that is? I mean, when we get ballots a month in advance and have ample time to mail them in or drop them off?
You know, we're going to look at that, and we're going to find to see whether or not our new system is as effective as our old system in terms of everybody getting a ballot. It's hard to predict why people don't vote. For those of us who vote all the time and take it so seriously, it's mind-boggling that people would get a ballot and not turn it in, or wait to the very last minute and then try to figure out because we send out a lot of notices. And you probably know, if you're a voter, you get booklets, you get cards from us, the reminding of where to go and that it was getting close to the time and all those kinds of things. And we notify you when your ballot has been received and been counted. If you sign up for Where's My Ballot, we've done all these things to make it easier for people. And I think it's just a matter of individual motivation. You know, most folks figure the world will be okay, even if they don't vote. And only when it seems like there's something that's earth shattering or that they're angry about or, you know, it's urgent at the moment, will they rush to the polls and vote as they did in 2020. So we're still looking at that. We'll be meeting to talk about once we realize what the turnout is. We don't know yet, because with this new system comes new challenges. It's going to take us longer to figure out who's winning. It's taking us longer because the ballots come in waves, you know, some in the mail, some here, some dropped off into boxes. And so we've got all those different things of ways in which people can vote. And so it makes it more complicated than simply having a one day and one kind of activity that occurs. But we are looking at that. It's still mind boggling as to why folks don't just vote. And I'm not sure whether they feel disconnected. We've had so many events with young people as well as with adults about voting. And one thing we know, that those who are older vote, you know, those over the age of 65 actually vote. So maybe we need to have some conversations with them to help our young folks and others in between to figure out why they don't vote and why these folks are so committed to voting.
Do you think a piece of that is California inclusive of political views in a state where Democrats have a supermajority and we have a top two system where sometimes opposing candidates can be of the same party, which often is the case, is Dem on Dem?
Yeah, yeah. We'll look at that. I don't know. I mean, having low voter turnout is not something new. It's not affiliated with the top two vote getter. I can remember years ago when there would be really poor turnout, 30-40% of the electorate would be turning out to vote. Sometimes people feel it's a done deal that the president's going to win anyway, because he was already in office and they don't really have a gripe. So they figure, you know, others will handle it for them. It's something we have to look at very carefully. There are Dem on Dem races, but they're not always Dem on Dem races. You know, most of the time they're not. And there are few, and I think I was looking at them, maybe a few in the state that are Dem on Dem races in terms of partisanism. But it's just, it is mind-boggling, and we continue to work on it. But I think sometimes when people don't feel a sense of urgency, they don't move forward with it. Where if they're voting against something or for something, they will. And if they're kind of confused, sometimes they don't vote. If we have too many initiatives on the ballot and there's too many commercials and there's too many whatever, people say, I'm just going to vote against everything. So they just stay home, you know?
Yeah. Are there parts of the role of Secretary of State to your office that you wish Californians knew more about? I know earlier this year when you joined us, we did talk about the role in helping small businesses and nonprofits.
Yes, we are in the process right now with our outreach program. We kind of took a slight deep breath as we finished the elections, but we have a list of activities. We're trying to make sure that everyone in California understands all of the work that occurs as Secretary of State. You know, we have an amazing archive, and they're forever putting on programs and things and history, facts and information that people are excited about once they go into the archives. Surely our businesses and our nonprofits, we're getting ready to basically highlight them and create some opportunities in terms of some town hall meetings for small businesses and nonprofits to get the information they need to stay effective and alive. So we are in the process of doing that. We're doing things with our Public Record Acts folks to help understand what we do in terms of when people want information and request information, what the rules and regulations are with regards to folks who run for office. You know, there's a whole unit that does that. So we are, Janelle Jackson is our outreach coordinator, and we're in the process of putting the calendar together for the year that will show all the things that we're planning. They've been planning it and working with different organizations, and we're bringing in some people whose specialty is working with businesses and nonprofits in our outreach office, so that they will be working with a lot of our businesses, and we're working with a lot of our chamber as well to help them to understand how they interface with us, but also how they can help even with elections.
Finally, what are your priorities for your upcoming full term?
Wow. Well, first of all, there are a couple of things that are lingering that have to be done. We have to basically do our CARS project, that California Access. We're in the process, we're in the second phase of that. And so I'm totally committed to making sure that that thing comes off and it comes off correctly. So we are working with CARS, our CARS project. We are very much, as I said, involved with young people. And so working with our Secretary of State on civic education and helping them to understand what we mean when we say democracy and those kinds of things, because some people understand it, young people do, some don't. So we're working with our young people to really create a greater and stronger unit that's there, trying to get not only everyone to vote, to register, but to get them to vote. And that's going to be a major issue for all of us, because we are at 83% of Californians actually registered to vote right now, 22 million. We need to see that 22 million at the polls. We still have about 5 or 6 million that are not registered, because there's 27 million that are eligible to vote. And so we need to really figure out why people don't and vote, and figure out how we can basically be more effective in not only recruiting them to vote, register, which is important, but more importantly, getting them to the polls on the day of the election. So we're going to be analyzing the data to figure out what we can do with our community groups to basically get greater numbers of people on a regular basis voting. Maybe after this election, people will be more comfortable with a vote by mail ballot. I know when Colorado implemented, it was difficult now, but, you know, Colorado gets about 80% to 90% of their registered voters actually voting in every election now. So we're looking to see where that is in other places and try to duplicate that here. And of course, you know, continuing to grow our businesses and make sure we are an asset and a resource to those businesses, and not just somebody who comes in when they didn't file or some difficulty happened and they, you know, then have a complaint. Yeah.
Secretary Weber, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
You too. That is California Secretary of State Shirley Weber. Up next, we head up to Shasta County and check in with the head of elections to see how this week has been after a contentious primary drew national attention. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.